The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
Well, one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, August 30th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 120 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of the coming too soon Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th at the beautiful Governor Hotel. We're putting together all the interesting details for that. I'm putting together the entertainment lineup for the Wednesday party, for the Friday party, and the Thursday night party only for Normal Show Live listeners who show up to the Normal Conference. Will take place Thursday night at 9 p.m. right here at Rolla J Studios. You'll get to see where all the magic is made. And speaking of magic, let's go to the magic man himself, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ? How you doing today?
Oh, we had a heck of a weekend. We got to go down to Southern Oregon.
Yes, we did.
And visit some beautiful ladies.
We did.
Oh.
Very beautiful ladies.
Yes, beautiful plant ladies.
I miss them already.
I miss them already, too. Oh, some good stuff down there going on in Southern Oregon. Some tall plants. I think I tweet photoed one of them.
Yeah, you did.
It was, what, 2 feet taller than me, probably?
About.
Six of those hanging out there outdoors. Beautiful plants. Oh, I always love seeing live plants. It's a good thing. So, we've also got Cannabis Carry joining us in our virtual studio in Astoria, Oregon. Good morning, Cannabis Carry.
Good morning, cannabis guys.
I know it's 1 o'clock out here in the Pacific, but I say good morning to you because I know you.
I know. Well, I don't sleep much these days. I used to sleep in. It doesn't seem like I'm getting much sleep these days at all.
Oh, yeah. You're getting ready for coming down to the conference, too?
I am getting ready for coming down to the conference. You know, it's a holiday weekend coming up, and I have a house full of guests. And, you know, we're still doing construction on the house, so it's been pretty crazy here.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, Carrie brings us our headlines right after this first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going to talk about a state. You know, the feds have sort of slowed down on raiding dispensaries, but that doesn't mean that dispensaries don't have to worry about state officials going after them. We're also going to go to a town in California that has a tax initiative on the ballot in November that is not going to make any cannabis lover happy. And also with the Facebook controversy last week, we've got some more internet controversy that we're going to report about. All that coming up on today's Hemp Headlines.
I wish we had daily Bear Guard updates.
I was going to say, no news from the bears? I guess I'll have to wait till later.
I saw somebody in the chat room wanted to hire them out to guard his garden, so maybe they've got a lucrative career security team.
Yeah, killer Canadian guard bears. Love it. All right, thanks, Carrie. We'll get to that right after our first break. Also on today's show, it is Daily Toker Tunes for Roots Monday, and Carrie will bring us a great little cover of something you wouldn't expect on a Monday, more on a Friday, but this should be interesting. Some Sweet Leaf cover on a Monday. This will be great. At half past the hour, we're going to speak with Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director. He joins us to talk about the upcoming Normal conference, as well as the Condé Nast and Reddit controversy, the Facebook Google controversy. He's been having lunch with Jane Hampshire from Fire Dog Lake. We'll talk all about that. And at 45 past, a little bit of radical ranting. Calvina Faye's got some reefer madness I just got to talk about. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, invites you to our 39th Annual National Conference, Legalization, Just Say Now, Thursday, September 9th through Saturday, September 11th, 2010, at the Opulent Governor's Hotel in downtown Portland.
The war on drugs has been a failure, and I think that we need to rethink it and formalize our law.
Extend your visit through Sunday, September 12th, and you can also attend the Hempstock, the largest outdoor cannabis and music festival in Oregon.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just Say Now. The NORML National Conference, September 9th through 11th in Portland, Oregon. Details available on the web at normal.org/conference or by calling 202-483-5500. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carrie.
If the federal raids of medical marijuana dispensaries have stopped or at least slowed down, some people in Michigan are finding that the state can also conduct debilitating raids. Felony drug and conspiracy charges were brought on Friday against nearly two dozen people involved in three medical marijuana dispensary raids last week in Ferndale and Waterford Township. Oakland County, Michigan Sheriff Michael Bouchard said the cases will shine a light on what he is calling abuses of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The defendants and their attorneys say that those arrested were complying with state law. 10 people were arraigned with ties to Clinical Relief, a Ferndale dispensary. All were released on personal bonds after pleading not guilty to drug felonies that carry maximum penalties ranging from 4 to 7 years. The sheriff made a public announcement on Friday following the arrest saying, "The law was passed with the intent to help those with chronic and debilitating issues. It was not intended to create drug houses that hide under the cover of compassion." At the Ferndale site, law officers said employees were selling marijuana to customers who lacked a state card, and one was accused of selling marijuana off-site of the dispensary. Partners in Clinical Relief say their businesses were fully approved by the city and local police, and they scrupulously checked the paperwork of every customer. Now, in the Waterfront District, employees of Everybody's Cafe and Herbal Remedies made their appearances one by one via a video beamed into the courtroom from the Oakland County Jail. The owner of one dispensary along with her husband were both arrested and were released on bond pending their August 31st pretrial date. The judge ordered them to stop dispensing medical marijuana and not to use illegal drugs or alcohol. Candace Teichman, the 45-year-old owner of the dispensary, is also a card-carrying patient under Michigan's Medical Marijuana Act. Her lawyer asked the judge if she would still be allowed to use medical marijuana, and the judge said no, adding, "I know the law is evolving and changing, but I said no illegal drugs." Also arraigned was the cafe's cook, who had a medical marijuana card. He said he smokes half a joint every day for back pain. Well, since he has prior criminal records, the judge set his bond at $10,000 cash. Those three and 12 others were also arraigned on similar charges from Waterford. The conducted raids were conducted on Wednesday evening by the Oakland County Narcotics Enforcement Team. According to Sheriff Bouchard, he claims his office had received 150 complaints about the storefronts. The raids have people discussing the issue around the state. One attorney said that they threw old ladies on the ground and said the public is completely baffled by the need for a SWAT squad to make arrests. Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson said the sheriff is planning to go to Lansing and urge changes into the Michigan marijuana law. They believe that people voted for compassionate medical marijuana for sick people and that the Michigan law has become a wholesale licensing of marijuana in the state.
Well, that's some sad news coming out of Michigan. Of course, Michigan passed medical marijuana in 2008 in 83 out of 83 counties. It got more votes than Barack Obama, more votes than John McCain. The people support medical marijuana. The problem here comes to when people are asked to figure out what exactly does medical mean, right? Some people, they'll see a young person going into a dispensary and think, well, that's not medical. I mean, that person's young and healthy. As if you can tell epilepsy by sight, or if you can tell Crohn's disease by sight, or as if young people, you know, don't live in pain or disability. I mean, our own Ganja John, what are you, 24, 25?
25.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, young people can live in pain as well. And as far as the judge is punishing people, saying that they can't use illegal drugs, no, it's a legal remedy. It's a legal remedy in the state of Michigan. We don't tell rapists when they get, busted that they can't have pain medications. We don't tell murderers that they can't have their OxyContin or their Vicodin. It would be considered a violation. It would be considered an Eighth Amendment violation. It would be considered cruel and unusual punishment to not allow those people to have their pharmaceutical pain medications. But because of this dividing line between medical and criminal marijuana, the judges oftentimes will sentence people on probation or sentence them to not use the least toxic, least or most effective remedy they can possibly use, least toxic, non-toxic remedy they could possibly use. And as far as these raids go, when Carrie said in the story here, there was accusations of them selling to people who don't have cards or people selling off-site. If there's going to be a medical marijuana law, then I do encourage people to follow it. It does kind of bother me when entrepreneurs, let's say, blur the lines, you know, these things like the little 5-minute doctor visits or, you know, doc in a box or get a doctor card off of Venice Beach or whatever it might be. Those things do kind of bother me because we've made this contract, a social contract with the voters. We've said marijuana for medical purposes for sick and disabled people. And I worry that we run the risk of the whole Judge Judy don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining syndrome, where a lot of people are going to get fed up with this and start to think that it is abuse and we're going to see the pendulum swing back. So I encourage anyone who's involved with medical marijuana in the 14 legal states, follow the damn law. Follow the law so that we don't make it worse for the next state that tries to get it legalized or add to our opposition, you know, swinging that pendulum back on us. But on the other side of this, for law enforcement to be raiding these people with SWAT teams, look, if there's a liquor store or a tobacco shop that sells liquor or tobacco to a kid who's underage, they might do a sting to try to catch the guy. But they don't send in the SWAT team to tear down the whole place, right? They take care of it administratively. They take care of it in court. That's the same sort of thing we should do if there are these alleged abuses in medical marijuana. Handle it through the courts. There's no need for these paramilitary SWAT raids.
The voters of Rancho Cordova, California, will be faced with a question come November as city leaders move to make the city the first in California to approve a tax on homegrown marijuana. The city's personal cannabis cultivation tax measure would impose an annual tax of an incredible $600 per square foot on any indoor marijuana cultivation up to 25 square feet and $900 per square foot tax on anything larger. The tax measure as written makes no distinction between medical or recreational cultivation. Now, that would work out to $15,000 of tax per year if a person cultivated a 5x5 foot growing space indoors. Advocates for medical marijuana and Prop 19 are saying the tax is so prohibitive that it would virtually ban legal cultivation. Don Duncan, California's director of Americans for Safe Access, says he doesn't know anyone who would be prepared to pay $600 a square foot. Rancho Cordova's mayor, Ken Cooley, said the city is protecting its interests should California voters pass Prop 19. Prop 19 does allow cities to impose taxes on sales of cannabis, but makes no mention of taxing personal grow sites. The mayor called it a quality of life issue. Separate from its ballot measure, Rancho Cordova passed an ordinance declaring outdoor pot cultivation exceeding 25 square feet an unlawful public nuisance. The ordinance also requires special permits for any indoor grows above 25 square feet. Rancho Cordova currently bans medical marijuana dispensaries, no surprise there, and it has placed a second measure on the November ballot to impose a gross receipts tax of 12 to 15% on pot sales if any stores are allowed to open in the city in the future. Cooley says Rancho Cordova has no interest in allowing dispensaries, but wanted a pot business tax in place should the courts force the city to accept the establishments. Councilmember Dan Skulgard was the only dissenting vote on the pot business and cultivation taxes, but he said it's because the ballot measures falsely suggest the city supports Prop 19 or marijuana use. Rancho Cordova spokeswoman Nancy Pearl says the cultivation tax seeks to pay for the city code enforcement and protection against, quote, general threats to the neighborhood from potential crime, traffic, stench, or other nuisances. She says our buildings and safety people and police and fire will have to work more to protect the community, and there are costs associated with that. Of course, taxes this high seems to be more punitive than anything else.
Yeah, it almost seems like we've gone for full circle here with the tax issue. I mean, that's how they banned marijuana in the first place, the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937, where you could have marijuana, you just had to have a tax stamp for it. But to get the tax stamp, you had to bring in the marijuana, which was illegal without the tax stamp. Catch 22. But now this is, you know, discrimination against the poor. Who is going to be able to afford $15,000 for a 5x5 grow? Well, not the average folks that want to grow their own so that they don't have to buy marijuana from the black market. No. It's those black marketeers who can come up with $15,000. Rancho Cordova, you want to have a whole bunch of indoor grows set up, run by criminals? This is the way to do it. They're the ones that would have that kind of money to pull this kind of thing off. Look, I'm all for reasonable regulation, and I can see some points that are pretty valid there. Like, if you're going to have a grow larger than a certain size, then there is some consideration from a public safety standpoint. How are you wiring this thing up, for example? We don't want the house to catch fire, and are you taking care of any possible molds or anything that might happen? I can see that if you're trying to make a really huge, 20x20 indoor grow, that maybe the city might want to get involved. But 5x5, especially what's, this 25 square foot that's being proposed with Prop 19, that's personal growing. And an exorbitant tax like this is ridiculous. This should never go through. For the people in the chat room that are asking about above 25 square feet, they'd charge 900 square feet. Well, with Prop 215, people can have a larger than 25 square foot garden. The 25 square foot is just Prop 19 for the healthy people. But for the sick folks under Prop 215, they could still have a bigger garden. So now they're talking about, if you think of it that way, a $600 per square foot tax for recreational growers, but a $900 per square foot tax for the medical growers. And those who need more than 25 square foot are the ones that are more likely to be the most disabled, the most needy. So you're saying here you want to charge $300 more per square foot for the most needy medical marijuana growers? This thing is completely bass-ackwards and needs to be changed now.
Facebook's choice to censor marijuana leaves and legalization ads has sparked debate around the internet. Following the Facebook controversy, Google came out in support of Fire Dog Lake and the Just Say Now group that are working to get California's Prop 19 passed by allowing the pulled ads to run on the much larger Google. Now a third major internet site has taken a stand on legalization ads, and it's causing quite a stir within its own organization. The popular social news website called Reddit is owned by media giant Condé Nast. The Just Say Now group was told that Reddit would not run any display advertising relating to marijuana legalization, but that decision came from Condé Nast's corporate office, not Reddit staff. To make matters worse, they said the ban pertained not just to images of a marijuana leaf, but to all marijuana legalization advertising. Just Say Now had requested an explanation of the rejection. Just like Facebook, Reddit has users post marijuana-related content, and there are at least 5 Reddit subsites about cannabis culture. Subsites are sites dedicated to specific topics and managed by users. On the pro-marijuana subsites on Reddit, even the up and down arrows that show content that has been voted on by readers has been replaced with a pot leaf. The Reddit staff has now come out in support of Prop 19 advertising by revolting against their parent company, Condé Nast. Reddit itself was eager to run the ads in support of legalization, but Condé Nast overruled the site's operators and finance staff. Reddit has now responded to Condé Nast's censorship by posting an official statement on their own page concerning Prop 19 ads. The statement said the staff was blindsided with the news. They're not allowed to take advertising money from sites that support California's Prop 19. They say that the decision was made by the highest organizational point in Condé Nast, and that they disagree with it and ask their readers to create a petition to help with their fight. They tried to convince the corporate officials that they had made the wrong decision, but they received a statement yesterday from Condé Nast saying, quote, as a corporation, Condé Nast does not want to benefit financially from this particular issue. Reddit staff brilliant response has been to run the Just Say Now ads for free of charge. So you can join the petition on either of those sites by searching for Just Say Now on Reddit or Facebook.
That's right. You can also check out firedoglake.com/justsaynow. Coming up at 45 after the hour, or 30 after the hour, we're going to talk with Alan St. Pierre about this very subject, Facebook, Google, Condé Nast, and Reddit, and the Just Say Now campaign censorship.
But right now, we're going to smoke a joint.
We're going to smoke a joint, the international measure, according to Calvina Fay. Stay tuned for my radical rant at the end of the show. We're going to talk about the joint as a unit of measurement. Stick around. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal National Conference 2010, September 9th through the 11th, in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Portland? Is this a typo? Oh, ha! I get it. For more details, see norml.org/conference.
...76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers. And nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back. 23 after the hour, we bring back Cannabis Carry from Astoria, Oregon. And Carry, you know, I saw this song on the uploads and I thought, this has got to be a Friday tune. Tell us all about it.
I bent it a little bit. You know, to fit it into our Roots Monday category, we're going to call this folk rock with a nod to the classic.
Okay.
The Faraway Brothers, yeah, they blend jazz, blues, rock, and even swing into their eclectic sound. They hail from San Francisco and have adopted the jam band stage presence that make them a favorite among the hipsters and the hippies. Now, they're best when they are interpreting great songs from musical influences, but they are way more than just a cover band. You might not have heard of the individuals in the band separately, but they all are pretty big names. Ed Ivey, he plays with Rhythm Pigs, the Brass Monkey Band. They have guitarist Eric McFadden, who is in Stockholm Syndrome, that features members from Government Mule and Widespread Panic, P-Funk, and he also played with the Animals. They have drummer Paolo Baldi, who is currently playing with Cake and Les Claypool.
Oh, wow.
And organist Chip Rowland, who plays with Zero and one of my favorites, Doug Kershaw. So they got together at a mutual friend's birthday party back in 1995, and they clicked right away and instantly appreciated how all their different styles took a life of its own as they, you know, sort of just riffed off all these famous songs by dead guys. That's what they call it. But the Fiveway Brothers had a weekly show in San Francisco for many years, and that became a popular spot for visiting pros. So they have a lot of fans that came just to see if someone famous was going to stop by and sit in. So you can check out their website. It's farawaybrothers.com or their MySpace page. We'll have links on the stash. And today's Toker Friendly tune is Roots, because it's a classic weed song. We get to hear, you know, Black Sabbath's Sweet Leaf. And I also want to let you know that their originals are pretty epic, too. So without more further ado, here is the Faraway Brothers and their rendition of Sweet Leaf.
Get you all your surprise. of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, everyone, time to check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Coming up tomorrow, Tuesday, August 31st, there's a weekly medicating event taking place at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. Music, medication, and art, $7 cover charge. Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club will be meeting at Charlie's Place in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Check out kalamazooareacompassionclub.org. Also, tomorrow, Tuesday, Hemp TV is on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Check out www.quote-unquote.org for more information, or call 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. Wednesday, September 1st, there is a hearing for Jenna and Colton in the Dayton Municipal Courthouse. Marijuana cultivation charges for two young people who were cultivating for medical use. This is in Central Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. Check out mvnormal.org for more information. Cincinnati's Fountain Square Reggae Night is also taking place at Fountain Square from 7 to 9, 5th and Vine in Cincinnati, Ohio. MV Normal will be there. Info at mvnormal.org. Grand Traverse Compassion Connection is meeting also on Wednesday. gtcompassionconnection.org in Traverse City, Michigan. And Ohio Normal is having their monthly open meeting online via Pal Talk. Check out ohionormal.org for details. Thursday, September 2nd, Philly Normal is having their open meeting at the A Space in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Check out phillynormal.org. And of course, this next coming week is the Normal National Conference, September 9th through 11th. September 8th, Oregon Normal and Alternative Medical Choices will be hosting the welcoming party, the reception party for everyone at the world famous Cannabis Cafe. Check out ornormal.org. Check out www.altmedchoices.com and check out usacannabiscafe.org for more details. On the Thursday of the conference, September 9th, I believe that will be, we will have the special party for Normal Show Live listeners right here at Rolla J Studios. That'll be Thursday night, 9 p.m. Friday night, we'll have the Normal Extravaganza at the Red Lions Windows Sky Room featuring Chief Greenbud and Los Marihuanos. For all the details on Normal National Conference, check out normal.org/conference, and to get more information on the calendar, check out normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Founded in 1970, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the oldest, largest, and most popular lobby of cannabis users in the world. From our Washington, D.C. offices, we lobby our federal government. And from our chapters nationwide, we lobby our state and local governments to end the war on American citizens who choose to use cannabis responsibly. We take you now to our nation's capital for a visit with Executive Director Alan St. Pierre and a look at this month in Normal.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 33 after the hour, we'll be joined here in just a moment by Alan St. Pierre in Washington, D.C. at the Normal National offices. We're going to talk a little bit about this controversy over Facebook, Google, and now the Reddit team apparently has gotten involved in this as well. It has to do with the Just Say Now campaign, which coincidentally is the name of our national conference as well, Just Say Now. But the Just Say Now campaign is put together by Fire Dog Lake, which is an influential liberal blog, Jane Hampshire. Hampshire, is the figurehead behind Fire Dog Lake, and also Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Executive Director Alan Houston, formerly with MPP, is now with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. They've put together this group, this Just Say Now group, and they're doing great work on getting the information out about marijuana legalization. They ran into this roadblock here with Facebook, and that's where we join with Alan St. Pierre from Washington, D.C. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Good day, Russ.
I was just kind of filling the listeners in on the background that Fire Dog Lake and SSDP put together this this campaign, but then they ran into a roadblock with Facebook. You've been having lunch with Jane Hampshire from Fire Dog Lake and talking about what's going on. What's the latest in this controversy?
All good, as the kids say.
That's all good.
At this point, tens of millions of impressions have been served on Facebook, Google, and on Reddit and other web pages based on this ad campaign. Facebook started to serve them before they recognized that somehow, in their view, it was running up against their rules and regulations and pulled it. So it's really proven a couple of very important things. One is the incredible iconography of a marijuana leaf.
Yeah.
The fact that regardless of what language you speak, regardless of where you live, and you don't have to be affiliated with any organization to embrace the marijuana leaf. And two, I think it's because Fire Dog Lake is not a traditional drug policy reform group that they're really able to sort of fly in under the radar here and make it clear that under the First Amendment, if you will, even though it's not applicable when it comes to a private company, but considering that these companies take business to put all kinds of, in some people's minds, very questionable advertisements in front of people, what really could be their problem with the marijuana leaf? And when this whole thing started to break early on, one of the points early on made was, hey, our own government spends millions of tax dollars a year pushing out the marijuana leaf in anti-drug ads and anti-drug flyers and videos. So if it's good enough for the federal government, then it's got to be good enough for Google.
And that's the
Facebook.
Yeah, and that's what the Google part, though. That's one of the pieces of good news, is that after Facebook rejected, or, you know, flip-flopped, because they had been running it, and then they said they wouldn't run it, Google took the ball and ran with it and said, oh, well, we'll run your ad. And it's gotten a whole lot more exposure on Google than it would on Facebook. And now we've got the Reddit people joining in. What's the latest thing with this whole Reddit campaign?
Well, the Reddit thing, when one peels back the onion layers, is fascinating, because here you have a corporate brand company. This is owned by Condé Nast, which owns some of the biggest glossy publications out there on the stands. And yet they turned around, and when the parent company told them they couldn't take the advertisements from Fire Dog Lake for the Just Say Now campaign, the staff wrote a letter of complaint to management and really made quite a stink over it. And when management refused to budge, the compromise with their employees was to allow them to run the ads for free.
Wow.
I think this is remarkable.
Yeah.
So both Reddit and Google are now running the ads, along with the Libertarian Party and a whole bunch of other entities that are the Electronic Freedom Foundation. These are all groups that have come in within the first 48 hours of the campaign to stand up and say, you know, whether or not they necessarily support legalizing marijuana, but they definitely support the notion that if you're an American and you want other Americans to hear the idea that you think marijuana should be legalized and you can use a marijuana leaf as that communication device, that's okay in 2010.
Yeah. Well, we're speaking with Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML from Washington, D.C. And, you know, you mentioned the Libertarian Party running the ads. Of course, Fire Dog Lake is running the ads, Electronic Freedom Foundation. FDL is well known as being a liberal or progressive blog, way out on the left, they would say, the professional left, I guess Robert Gibbs would call it. And the Libertarian Party is, of course, known as being out on the right side of the political spectrum. How significant is this that we've got both, you know, I guess the base of both sides of the political aisle uniting in this marijuana campaign, this legalization campaign?
in some ways, it was somewhat predictable. Anybody who's gone to a Tea Party rally or paid close attention to the rhetoric of this populist movement today, it's pretty hard to escape because it has both these sort of liberal components to it and sort of very libertarian small government components to it. But the one voice that hadn't been united yet is the idea that right in front of us is a prima facie example of big government and the want to be left alone to engage in one's personal behavior responsibly, something that one could unite both the left and right on. And that has been over the issue of, surprisingly, marijuana. And so this has been a remarkable shoot out of the cannon campaign for Just Say Now, as Normal will go into its national conference next week, which is called Just Say Now. We're thinking it quite a bit like a baton, metaphorically, that when we're done after those 3 days in Portland, we will be handing that baton onto Fire Dog Lake and SSDP, and they will run the next year with this. If Californians vote to legalize marijuana, then they'll have this mantra to bang out in the next 49 states. If Californians do not approve Prop 19, then this is a mantra we're all going to be hearing for another year or so, I believe, because Fire Dog Lake has a lot more energy and resources to commit in this direction. And when putting this to their members in a democratic little D way, what is one of the most important issues before you? It's legalizing marijuana, not medical marijuana, legalizing marijuana. So that's why I fired Dog Lake, because it's so responsive to its membership. It's a real, genuine grassroots organization. It's now wrapped its arms around legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, what an amazing time we're living in here as far as the media coverage and the political coverage of marijuana legalization. This does remind me a bit of our CBS billboard controversy we had with New York and Times Square. And at the time, I had written about how, you know, CBS was happy to profit from the marijuana leaf imagery when they were promoting their Weeds television show, not so happy with marijuana leaf imagery when it had to do with legalization. Do you feel that there's economic interests here that forced Facebook to make the decision they made, or Condé Nast to make the decision they made?
I had this very conversation with Jane, because she asked the same question. I mean, why would these organizations who otherwise take ads all across the spectrum, stuff that would make your grandmother and my grandmother blush, but this somehow or another really threw them off? And it can't be the case that Mr. Zuckerberg, as an example over at Facebook, is part of the World War II generation and can't relate to marijuana. That's clear. I mean, clearly, he probably should know better. Condé Nast definitely is a mainstream organization which has much older leadership on its board of directors, and one could understand where they may not have the cultural affinity for marijuana the same way that, say, Mark Zuckerberg and the principals over at Facebook, I presume, do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I read a couple of comments as I was gleaning our blogs and other blogs about this, and a similar theme developed when Obama did the chuckle, when he laughed at us about legalization. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of, I guess, a sort of reverse conspiracy theory, the idea that, no, see, Facebook really wanted it to get out, so they banned it, knowing that the banning of it would get more coverage than them actually running it. Any truth to that kind of conspiracy?
Well, at this point, no, because Jane indicated that she had actually spoken with some of the upper-ups over at Facebook and knows Mark herself personally, and just thought that this was an unfortunate, not very well thought out business decision, and that has been consistent with their policies for years. But many of us, including those of us at Normal, have been trying to get Facebook to realize, look how popular this is amongst your members. If you are a membership client-driven organization, then you have to respect the fact that right now in America, there is a huge public discussion around legalizing marijuana, and there's no way that this kind of platform can divorce itself from that discussion.
Mm. All right, shifting gears just a little bit as we wind up, we're about 10 days away from the Normal National Conference right here in Portland, Oregon, and I'm wondering if you have any new updates for speakers or anything people need to know about the conference.
We have actually just changed one of our panels out. We were going to have a hemp panel, but because of the importance of Prop 19 and the confusion around it, the fact that there are, quote, legalizers, unquote, out there arguing against it, that our opposition is coming up with some rather bizarre arguments against it, that we want to come up with a very strong narrative, that we're going to commit an hour at the conference to really understand the impact and importance of Prop 19, the fact that if 1 out of 8 Americans in California vote on this, that's how many, 1 out of 8 Americans live in California, the importance of this cannot be understated. We've also added for musical talent Chief Greenbud and Engayo Bilum and Los Marijuanos will round out along with your own particular endeavor, which I don't know if you have a name, this reform all-star band you put together.
Yes, we have. It's very interesting how in marijuana law reform there's a number of us who are musicians, either formerly professionally like myself or who've just played around a lot. William Panzer from the Normal National Board, Douglas Hyatt, the Seattle attorney, plays music. So, yeah, I think we're going to get us together at the Wednesday welcoming party there at the Cannabis Cafe and have a little cannabis all-star jam. Could be a lot. I haven't got a name yet, though. We have to think of something. The Buds, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure it wouldn't be too hard to solicit the crowd for names.
Oh, I'm afraid of that.
Well, we've already sold out the 2 hotels, the Overflow Hotel. So anybody who wants to attend, they certainly should pre-register now. And if there are plenty of hotel rooms around Portland. We just have burned through our allotment at the 2 hotels we had contracted with. So it looks like it's going to be a great event. We've got a lot of international and national press that have already signed up for the event. So this should be well covered all around the world.
All right. And we've actually got a question from the chat room. People have been talking on this live chat while we're talking to you, Alan St. Pierre at Normal headquarters in Washington, and about Prop 19 and what is the political layout right now. I know with things like Prop 8, when it was going through, it was kind of quiet until September and October, and then a rush of money came in to try to defeat it. What's your feeling as the political headwinds here on Prop 19?
A couple of areas. One is that we, too, are suffering from not having the major resources come in the door in the last 60 days of the campaign, which really sets the tone for the advertising campaigns, et cetera. That big money is sitting on the sidelines, and that's very vexing for many of us who have seen millions and millions of dollars be spent on much less important, much less impactful initiatives than this one. And right now, we're still polling about 10% ahead of those who would vote against it. So it's definitely, definitely politically viable. And on the other side of this, as you mentioned during the last Prop 8 initiative, the other side, too, could well come in with a huge expense in the last 60 days. Where it would come from is not entirely clear. There certainly, we've seen early on that some of the very same organizers who worked on Prop 8 against gay marriage have signed on to and are consultants to some of the nascent groups that are against this proposition, but I'm not sure that there's the funding necessary to keep their meters running. We could certainly see, I like to drop one brand name, Alex Spanos, who is the owner of the San Diego Chargers and is a huge real estate tycoon in San Diego. He is totally, totally against medical marijuana and legalization, and he has a history historically of putting up money in the last 60 days of these initiatives to try to thwart them. So we will see, but at the same time, I can say behind the scenes, we've kept our powder dry too. And there is a whole bunch of stuff coming out, whether we have the money or not to well promote it. And that would be some celebrity news, some information that has to do with taxation coming from sources of character that really cannot be impugned by our opponents. So the last 60 days of this campaign is going to be fascinating. And as 2 employees of the Drug Policy Alliance, Steve Gutwillig and Tony Newman, wrote recently in a publication this weekend that even if this does not pass, Russ, in many ways it has won in getting together coalitions that we have never been able to pull together from the black community, Hispanic community, the black law enforcement community. Just those entities alone signing up at this point could be considered a victory and lays a great groundwork for 2012 if this does not pass this year.
Well, we're hoping it does pass this year, and then 2012 we lay the groundwork in some other states, particularly Oregon. I'm kind of looking forward to that myself. Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of NORML and the NORML Foundation, working 80 hours a week out of Washington, D.C. Thanks for taking a little bit of that time for joining us here on NORML Show Live.
My pleasure. Thanks, Russ. Take care.
All right, folks, we're coming back with a little bit of radical ranting. I have got to talk this latest article. Calvina Fay, one of my favorite prohibitionists. I mean that favorite in a ironic sort of way. She's got some funny things to say about marijuana and the choint.
You're listening to NORML Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
NORML Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of NORML Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant. Welcome back, everyone. 51 after the hour. Time for a little radical ranting. And this latest one comes by way of the Christian Science Monitor, which always gets my juices flowing. They have a feature they call the 1 Minute Debate. And this is just a short little 300-word article, pro and con, that they run from time to time. And the latest one is between our own Paul Armentano, the deputy director of NORML, and the smartest man in marijuana law reform, as far as I'm concerned, and legendary prohibitionist Calvina Fay. Now, we've covered Calvina Fay in the past. She says things like, you know, the marijuana today is, you know, 400 times stronger than it was in the 60s, etc. One of those reefer mad prohibitionists. She is also the executive director of the Drug-Free America Foundation. I presume she means illegal Drug-Free America Foundation, not, you know, tobacco or alcohol or pharmaceuticals. But anyway, I do have a question for Ms. Calvina Fay, and that is, what kind of pinners is this woman rolling? Let me give you the quote here. This is, they're doing their article about Prop 19. And, of course, Paul Armentano writes a very, very cogent pro-article on Prop 19. Calvina Fay writes the anti-article. And this is the quote in question that I wanted to bring up. Legalizing marijuana use would substantially increase its already formidable cost to society. That's because the initiative would allow individuals to possess up to about 120 joints. And cultivate 25 square feet of plants capable of yielding up to 240,000 joints. Okay. Prop 19 legalizes an ounce of cannabis. 120 joints, huh? Out of an ounce. Okay. That works out to 236 milligrams per joint. Seriously, is anybody out there rolling less than a quarter gram joints?
Honestly, I don't know if it's possible.
I don't know if you can actually do,
like, without some sort of machine.
I think the paper itself might weigh.
Yeah, the paper itself weighs more than that. Okay, I'll rip the paper into a quarter.
Yeah.
Put the tiniest bit of weed in there and just...
It's like Barbie joints or something. I don't know joints. What the hell she's rolling.
Ken, what are you smoking?
Okay, first of all, she uses the joint, or as Arnie says, the choint, as if it's some sort of international standard of measurement, right?
Right.
Let's see, 25 square feet produces 240 kilojoints. God, that's almost a quarter of a mega joint. But here's the reason why she does it. She does this to scare people, to scare her readers, into thinking we're legalizing a huge amount of marijuana, you know, enough for some shady drug dealer to sell to kids. You know, like now. Prohibitionists use this tactic as well when it comes to plant seizures. You know, they'll snatch up a dozen 2-inch seedlings and tell you, well, those plants would be worth $12 bajillion on the streets. You know, if they grew all the way and if they were harvested, you know, 2-inch clones. Twelve bajillion.
Yeah, right now they're worth about nothing.
Yeah, right now they're worth nothing, but they would be worth $12 bajillion. Unless, of course, they seize them from medical marijuana patients, and then they'll just let them die in the evidence locker. Right. $12 bajillion worth of plants. Oh, screw it. So, look, let's get some real numbers here. In the real world, Calvina, the U.S. government is rolling 400 milligram joints to the four remaining federal medical marijuana patients. That's about 70 joints to an ounce. Now, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we roll them about 750 milligrams to about a gram per joint. Geo.
At least. Oh, geo. Jesus.
Yeah. That's about 28 to 38 joints per ounce. Unless we're talking Seattle Hemp Fest, then it's more like 1 to 1. Right. 1 ounce, 1 joint.
We did smoke a mega joint.
We did have a mega joint, yes. Choice, yeah. Okay, so That's the first ridiculous part. Don't tell us how much it is in joints. An ounce is an ounce is an ounce, right? It's not like if you cut the pizza in 8 slices, it's less fattening than if you cut it in 12 slices, right? You know, it depends on how many slices you eat, right? An ounce is an ounce is an ounce. But here's the other part about her quote that always cracks me up, and I've addressed this numerous times from various prohibitionists. The formidable costs to society. She said, legalizing marijuana use would substantially increase its already formidable cost to society. Now, you notice how she doesn't mention exactly what that cost is, right? They never quantify this substantial increase. They never quantify this formidable cost. Because what are the costs now, and by what factor would they increase? Because whatever it costs now, we're paying now. And whatever it costs now, we would also be paying then after legalization. So you can't count what we're already paying now. Scratch that off both sides of the equation. So the amount that it goes up would have to be more minus and plus the taxes you'd get from it, right? We're not getting any taxes now either, right? Zero taxes. After we legalize, we'll get some taxes. And after we legalize, in California specifically, we won't be spending $1 billion a year to keep cannabis illegal. That's right. In California, they're spending $1 billion a year to keep cannabis illegal, taking in $0 in taxes and paying whatever the cost is, right? Because Calvina Fay won't tell you what that formidable cost is right now. Never gives us a number. Never points out how much is it actually costing right now. But whatever that cost is, that cost will still exist after Prop 19. There may be an increase in that cost, but that increase has to be at least $1 billion worth of cost, right? So that means that there must be more than $1 billion worth of cost now. That sounds pretty formidable to me, but if it's such a big number, how come Calvina Fay won't tell us what it is? It's because it's an obvious equation to anyone who's gone through junior high algebra, and that is cost plus enforcement plus zero taxes is greater than increase plus taxes, right? We are going to make so much more by having it legalized and not having to spend $1 billion to keep it illegal than the increase could possibly be. Now, if we want to quantify this a little bit, we can take a look at the Canadian study that I've referenced many times here on the show that actually measured how much it costs to enforce the law and how much it costs in public health costs per user of a substance per year. The Canadians did a great study on this. Now, of course, things are different. The Canadian dollar is different. The economy is different. They've got, you know, social medicine. They actually take care of their people. There's no such thing as medical bankruptcy, you know, like a civilized country. So the costs and such are different, But it's a good example for us to just get an idea, get some quantification here. According to that Canadian study, a tobacco smoker cost $800 a year to Canada in social costs. An alcohol drinker cost $165 per year in social costs. A cannabis smoker, even a heavy-duty, off-the-hook cannabis smoker, $20 a year. $20 per year. A drinker is 8 times more costful to society, and a smoker is 40 times more costful to society, according to this Canadian study, than a cannabis user. But the enforcement costs? Costs about zero to enforce tobacco laws. There's not much to enforce, just card kids for smokes. Costs about $150 per user to enforce alcohol laws. Okay, spending $150 to save $165, not a bad investment. It costs $328 per cannabis consumer to enforce the law. $328 spent to save $20 in cost. Everybody has realized that it is not worth the time, it is not worth the money, and in this economy, we don't have the luxury of keeping cannabis illegal anymore. Legalized by Prop 19, see the windfall of money. Calvina Fay, roll a bigger joint.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, folks, stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up. Toker Talk Radio. We're going to talk about how much is your marijuana costing you and answering your live questions about Prop 19. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.